Blog Talk Radio.
Recruiting Animal here today on April 12, 2017. April 12th, spring is almost here. Jerry, don't eat those potato chips during the intro, please. I'm begging you, okay? I've just got a few. I got a few quick things to say today, and we'll get to the show. Okay, first, I want to mention something that bugs me. Lots of people, I see them on social media, they go into a forum like, you know, my group on Facebook or Jerry's. I don't think they do it on his. They do it on mine. They ask a question, and then they say, go. What do they think I am, their dog? Don't tell me to go. Don't tell me to fetch an answer for you. I don't have to go. Go. Okay? You go. If you ask me a question, a decent manner, maybe I'll tell you the answer, but I'm not going to go. And the other thing is, they'll post something and they'll say, hey, team, hey, gang, hey, team, I'm not on their team. I never saw them before, okay? Don't be so presumptuous with me. Don't boss me around. That's number one. Second point I want to make is, I've had a few people, believe it or not, ask me over the last few months to come and speak at conferences. And I have to ask myself, don't they listen to the show? I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I just like asking questions and yelling at people, okay? You know, and people often talk about, you know, guys who say they've got 10 years of experience, but it's really 1 year repeated 10 times. Well, that's me. I'm that second guy, okay? And you know what? I'm not a good networker either. So when people say, oh, when you go to the conferences, it doesn't matter what people say in the big gatherings. It's all the networking. Well, that doesn't apply to me. Okay, if you want to network with me, go to my Facebook group or call into the show. There's no reason to meet me outside of social media. Speaking of which, Jerry, can you tell us what show is this?
Yes, I can. It's the Recruiting Animal Show.
Opera singer eats potato chips before he or she knows they have to go on.
First of all, say that to me again, I'm going to knock you out.
Ooh.
Secondly, my pre-show snack had nothing to do with my delivery. That was fine.
Nope, sure sounded
that
like
it. That was fine.
No, it wasn't. Okay.
It was.
Maybe it's my phone. Okay.
It's your phone. It's something phone. Sounds like crap, and it's not me.
Okay. You know, you've been away 2 weeks. You're kind of rusty. You don't know enough to put the chips aside till after you've done it. Okay, I can't teach you anymore.
Trust me, I'm a professional. I do this.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're a professional.
I thought it sounded good.
It sounded good, didn't it, Maureen?
Really good.
It sounded great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was very good.
Yeah. Okay, everybody.
It was huge.
Right. It's huge. Okay.
Big
thank
news.
You anyway. I want to thank my sponsors as well, PC Recruiter, the Swiss Army Knife of recruiting software, and Hire Tool, the hot new recording, I mean sourcing, not recording, sourcing.
It's hot.
We all know sourcing is not recruiting.
Yeah. I didn't say recruiting. Sourcing's I said easy. Recording. I made a mistake. I said recording because I was thinking so much about the song I want to sing. Anyway, Jerry, you were out of the country on a professional retreat.
Yep.
So I was thinking we could sing back
one-man conference.
You know, who's making he's not breathing. Don't breathe on the show, okay? Okay.
With the former USSR's direct involvement in our election,
yeah,
I don't think I should be singing or even on this phone call right now. They're looking.
Okay, well,
looking at everybody right now.
I got a new version of this one's for if the Beatles were, you know, writing that song today, they would make it different. It would be about against those jihadists. Adam W. Gordon, the guest. Do you know the song Back in the USSR?
I love that song.
Okay. This is, instead of the Ukraine girls, we're going to say the Taliban girls, okay? You know that? Are you ready?
Viral.
Are you ready? The Taliban girls really knock me out. Come on. They leave the West behind. Come on, Adam. The ISIS girls make me sing and shout. Iraq is always on
my mind.
Where's everybody else?
There are no girls.
I wish we had a warning on these things.
That is a totally insensitive song right now, dude.
Polish it up.
Totally insensitive.
There are no girls in the Taliban.
Sure there are. Yeah. You don't read the news, okay? There's lots of girls leaving London and Glasgow to go over there. But anyway, let's not go there.
Over
I'm
where?
Jerry said I might lose sponsors, okay, for talking like that. Forget it. What about this? Before we get going, the most famous group, Adam is over in Glasgow, and the most famous group from Glasgow is Simple Minds. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, what's the delay?
Wait.
Okay, and so what about that song, Don't Forget About Me? Jerry, you know that one. Maureen, you know it?
Remind me.
Simple Minds.
Don't you forget about me.
Yeah,
hey,
me.
Adam, could you do that one?
I know it. Wanna sing
Adam.
That?
Don't you forget about me.
Don't. Again.
God.
Forget about me. Don't. Okay, we're going. Let's get going. Okay. Now, Adam's got my notes
What's wrong
are a bit
with your
screwed
phone,
up here.
Animal?
Is there something wrong with my phone?
Yeah.
Well, nobody said anything. Jerry, is there something wrong with my phone?
Yes, it sounds like crap.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe the mic's just too close to my
crackle.
Are
you on a hard line?
No.
What? What?
Are they complaining yet on Twitter? Let me look.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, I was going to say something earlier about Animal not following any of his own rules. He's now posting stuff with giant pictures in his group. Huge pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about it. Okay. Listen. Okay. So here's the thing. This guy, Adam, is into recruitment marketing. Actually, he's what I'm going to call. I'm going to introduce him. And his email, his Twitter address is adam_w_Gordon. It's, you know, a lot of underscores. I don't like them, but it's easy to understand. He is what I would call an automated sourcing expert. He believes that you have to get a database full of every person on the internet who fits into the category of person you're trying to recruit. I don't know, Java programmers or internal auditors, whatever. You get everybody. Now, I don't know how he gets all those names. We're going to find out about that. You get them all. You put them into a big database. And then you start sending emails out to those people. And if they click on the email, they get a point. And then if they go to the site that you direct them to and they click on, how do I get a job with this company or I want to apply to the company, they get another point. And if they get enough points, the software automatically tells the recruiters, this guy's a good prospect. He's ready to leave or she's ready to leave. Phone that person up. So that's it. You get everybody in the top of your funnel. You feed them content that is interesting to them. Well, we're going to find out what that is. And then you score them on how they respond, and then you respond to them based on the number they get, how high their score is. Adam, is that fair?
Yeah, it's very fair. So we've got a really good kind of partner program that we're developing, and I think that you've just demonstrated that you would be a prime candidate to work with us in North America based on that description.
Great. Okay, nobody ever wanted me as their marketing guy before, but you know what? I'll consider a position. First of all, what's the name of your company?
My company's called Candidate ID.
Candidate.ID? Candidate.ID?
Yeah,
do I have to?
That's how.
What's the website?
Yeah, I mean, that's how we.
What's the website?
Yeah, so the website is www.candidateid.com.
Okay. Does anybody in their right mind say www anymore? Oh, really? Come on. You're living in 1995.
No.
Yeah, okay. So
maybe
so
some of the people
all,
still hanging out on Twitter, but what a bunch of numbness over there.
Yeah.
Holy
okay.
shit.
So, Adam, first of all, let's pick a job category. You pick one kind of job category. You're going to walk us through this. What's the job category you want to work with?
Clinical project managers.
Okay, I don't know what those are, but we've got them.
I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
How many clinical project managers are there online with a data about them?
In the world, I'd estimate 200,000.
Oh, really? Okay. So how do you get – now, you keep stressing again and again. I watched all your videos. Get every single one of them in your database. How do you get them in your database?
Well, there's multiple ways of doing that, and I absolutely believe in the concept of the total addressable market. So people talk about active candidates and passive candidates, and I say forget about that and just consider everybody and get everybody into your database, try and build a relationship with them. You can do it in 100 different ways, but the way that most of our clients are getting...
You could tell us one to start off with. Forget the Babble Gab, okay?
Okay, the first way that our clients are getting their clinical project managers into Candidate ID is by exporting from their applicant tracking systems and importing into Candidate ID. And they're doing that either as a manual export-import on an Excel file, or they're doing it through an API.
That's a detail. Come on. I have an audience
here. It's getting pretty technical. My mind started to drift there.
Yeah, I know. I got to teach them, Jerry.
Sorry.
We have people. We don't want to beg you. We want to find out what the sourcing technique is. You said there's 200,000 people in the world. I don't know how many of those are online. Let's imagine 100,000, just to have a number.
In 2011, PMI, whatever that is, estimates there are 16.5 million project managers.
Yeah, he said clinical project managers.
Clinical
Marie.
Project
don't
managers. Okay.
We got 100,000.
Okay.
How do you get those 100,000, the people in your total addressable market, how do you get them into your database? Don't tell me they're already there. I don't want to hear that, okay?
Fine. If they're not there, you use something like Hire Tool.
Are we still live?
Yeah.
Still on?
You off the phone,
yep.
Jerry?
Jerry, let him
answer. Anybody.
Jerry, he's starting to answer, okay? Give him a break, please.
Houston,
you
lead me?
You use something like Hire Tool to find them all, and then you put them into Candidate ID.
So all you have to do is go and do a Hire Tool search on LinkedIn or Facebook or I don't know which other
sites.
Yeah, on
Google. I would use Google.
Google? Okay.
Yeah.
So you do a Boolean search on Google. It's that simple, and you're going to bring in most of the people that are in the total addressable market. Is that what you're telling us?
So just to be clear, Candidate ID is not Candidate ID does not build the database. Candidate ID allows you to nurture everybody that's on that database and turn it into a talent pipeline.
Hold on, let me interrupt you. Yeah, but the point is your tool doesn't work unless they have the total addressable market. That's what you keep telling them to get. So even if you say, look, animal, I'm not going to do the sourcing for you, but you have to have all those people. Give me a break. Tell me how I could get them. Please, Adam, I want to use your tool. How do I get prepared? Okay? Tell me that. If you can't, I'm not going to be happy.
Right, okay. So you, I mean, yeah, we can do it for you, but we do it on a manual basis, and we go and just, I've got a team of sourcers who will go and find all the people, find all their email addresses, and then you can put them into candidate ID. So
okay,
there's manual ways of doing
it. How will they do it? How will they do it? You know what? I've got an audience. I've been 10 minutes trying to get you to answer that one question.
Well, let's start with the
first. How did your team of sourcers get 100,000 people?
They'll do a complex Boolean search on Google to find all the clinical project managers. Then they'll use something like HireTool or Lucia or something like that, and that'll basically allow us to identify a lot of their email addresses.
Anybody want to challenge them on that before we go to the next step?
Is Nintron
on the line? That sounds very optimistic. That sounds very optimistic to me.
Is Nintron on the line?
Yes. Hi, Mary.
Is he?
Yeah,
I'm here.
There.
Nin might have some.
Are you there?
Input in.
And you're saying
Nin Tran,
the COO at HireTool, is saying that it's possible, it's that easy to put 100,000 people into your database. Yes? Is that what you're saying?
100,000 people is fairly large number. I mean, you could do it. It'll take time, but I don't know how easy that would be.
Okay, you're contradicting.
Theoretically, that works. I mean,
animal.
In theory, I mean, in theory, everything works, right? But how about in practice?
No. Alan Fleur, come on in here.
Quick question for him. So, if you want to put everybody in there, just like everybody that's in LinkedIn, what's the quality?
Oh no, that comes later.
Wait a second, Alan.
Don't jump the gun.
Yeah.
Okay, my apologies.
So let's leave it. We've got it. We doubt. He's saying it's a cinch. No problem. You can put the total addressable market into the system. I'm saying it's not that easy to get the total addressable market,
I don't believe it.
Okay?
You better come up with what the total addressable market really is anyway. I mean, how do you know that you have found every single clinical program manager?
Yeah, I mean, I can absolutely answer that. You can find everyone that's online. You can find them, but if they're not online and they've never signed into something like LinkedIn or other professional sites, then no, you need to do it in a telephone or something.
We're talking about online.
What about if they use a different title?
Oh, yeah, I mean, you would just use a synonym title search. You would just use alternative, so a clinical trial manager might be.
Okay, we'll give Kathy.
You would use the synonyms,
Hey, I'm going to answer the question for you. We'll give them the credit, Kathy Manis. We'll give them credit that, they know how to do a sophisticated Boolean search. Okay, now we're going to the next step, okay? So what happens after you've got all those people into candidate? Is it candidateid.com?
Yes.
What happens when you've got your 100,000? You've got your 100,000 clinical project managers in there. What happens next?
So next, you need to nurture those 100,000 people, and you nurture them by creating content and sharing that content through Candidate ID with all of that database. You segment the content, and you attach scores to each piece of content and each interaction.
Hold on. Can't you hear me? You've lost Jerry, okay? He's like my bellwether. He's the canary in the mine, okay? If he's gone dead silent, that means we're in trouble, okay? And so you say very clearly, content. You say there's content that these people are going to be interested in. You actually believe, and I believe that's quite a confident statement, that you can appeal to these people you don't know. You can send them stuff that they're going to be interested in. But the thing you keep saying over and over again is they're not interested in jobs. They've got jobs. There's no guarantee that they are want to be looking now, so don't send them information about your jobs. Is that true?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And we believe that of that 100,000 people, around 3 to 4% are going to be what we term hire ready right now. So 96 to 97% are not people you should be trying to talk to about jobs. So you need to be nurturing them in other ways.
Okay. Is Jerry awake? Jerry, are you awake, or have you left for get a sandwich already? Okay, this is one of Jerry's specialties are coming up now. Jerry says that, and I think he's right, that people, you know, when they always tell you to build a talent community, first of all, he says they're not interested in your company unless they're looking for a job. They're not interested in career, you know, job hunting information unless they're already looking for a job. And your content that you're sending out there is career information, right? And so am I right about that, yes or no?
Well, no, it might be career information. It might be career information, but you...
Okay, Maureen, when the guy starts talking, don't interrupt him, okay?
I'm sorry.
Jerry said what?
I'm sorry to both of you. I apologize, but Jerry says he's blocked.
He's not blocked. He
says open his line.
Something.
No, he says open his line.
Blind!
Okay. Maureen, I apologize to you. He hung up this bozo and called back in. Okay, now he's on again. Now, Jerry.
Oh, dude, the line went dead. Your crappy crap cut off.
Okay.
God.
Look, okay, this is the part where this is one of your specialties are coming up now. He says he's got essentially a talent community in these people that they've sourced, a whole big mass of people. Now they're going to send out content to keep them engaged. Jerry, did you hear what
Nobody
I said?
Nobody wants to read that.
Okay.
Nobody wants that crap. And it's not a community.
Yeah, isn't it?
Communities have
like
a police department, city, sewer, water, all that stuff. It's not a community. It's a database. It's a list of names that you're blasting out spam to.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah?
Well,
you're a nice guy.
Yeah, he does. But doesn't this sound kind of like... You get mailers from realtors all the time that you throw out until you're ready to buy or sell. So basically, what's the value of paying, if I'm not mistaken here, $2,000, $4,000, or $6,000 a month for this service?
I didn't hear that. I'm shocked.
Adam, you've got your opponents there. Go ahead.
Well, I've got. I think that's four separate questions I've got to respond to as well. So. On the first one, which was about a talent community, I didn't use the term talent community. It's not a talent community, and I didn't say that.
Who did?
It's a talent. It's a animal.
I did. Okay.
I did.
He's recently been caught misquoting and mischaracterizing posts, statements, quotes. So
if it's
sorry
okay,
about that.
Very quickly. So there's a lot of definitions of terms that are getting misused regularly, and the whole like talent pool, talent pipeline, talent community. Talent community is like a social network, that kind of thing. A talent pool is just a database. A talent pipeline is what candidate ID creates. And a talent pipeline exists when you know which people within that talent pool are warm for opportunities with your organization. And we believe it's only 3 to 4% of the total addressable market. And what Candidate ID does is allow the distribution of not spam or crap or whatever it was you said, but segmented content that's going to be relevant whether somebody's not looking for a job or whether somebody is looking for a job. So an example of... I mean, the point about the spam that you get from a realtor, which I think means an estate agent, is okay. So you're not interested in that until you're ready for a house move. That's absolutely correct, and it's exactly the same in terms of your career as well. So if you can understand, we segment the talent pipeline according to four different stages, which are awareness, education, consideration, and decision. So
all
if
right.
somebody is
I like
only
that.
Aware,
that's all you need to say.
I don't like that at all. Go ahead.
That's
you know
your
what?
Typical recruiting cycle, dude. God.
Okay, so
when did you get out of recruiting, Animal? Why are these concepts so foreign to you?
Let him finish.
Uh-oh.
Let him finish, okay? I got to get him to finish.
Okay, so we segment that talent pool in those four ways, and when you're able to understand which candidates are in those four different areas of segmentation, that's when you've got a proper talent pipeline. Now, for somebody that's in awareness and no more than that, you don't want to be sending them jobs. They don't care about your employer brand. But if you're a clinical project manager and the senior vice president of clinical operations at your competitor wants to share with you how to be a better clinical project manager, you're going to be interested in that. How to get ahead in your career, how to get a pay rise, how to make yourself more valuable, how to get the skills that you need in 2018 now, you're going to want that stuff. So that's how you go about nurturing somebody that is not interested in looking at your organization and not interested in looking for a career opportunity.
Okay, hold on a second.
Who doesn't want that kind
of content? Who wrote that content? Your client, the VP at your client company? You've got them writing content for this mass audience? Is that what you're saying?
It might be that individual's written it. It might be that their communications team's written it. It might be their recruitment marketing team's written it. It might be that my team's written it. The ideas, obviously, all need to, I mean, as a minimum, that person needs to give you the 6 or 8 bullet points of the key things that they want to share. And then if you flesh that out into a blog or into a white paper or into an infographic or some kind of content, then those clinical project managers who are at the top of the funnel, who are not looking for a job, they're still going to like that content because it's going to help them. It's useful and it's relevant.
Okay, I got to do an ad before we go on to the next step. Hey, everybody, and nobody fight with me, okay? Just let me do it. Hey, everybody, Recruiting Animal here. You know, Martin Snyder, he's the boss over at PC Recruiter, and he emailed me the other day. He didn't call me. He emailed me. He said, Animal, he doesn't call me because he doesn't want to get angry, okay? He emailed me. He said, Animal, I like what you did last week in the ad. And you know why? Because you did exactly what I told you to. Please keep that up. If you insist, this is what he said, on using your own ideas, I'm not going to pay you, okay? So I said, okay, Marte, whatever you want. And here's what he wants you to know. PC Recruiter has a lot of new features, and the one I'm going to focus on today right now is comprehensive semantic text search powered by CareerBuilder's text kernel technology. I don't know what it means. I'm sorry, okay? I'm dumb, and I told him that. He said, don't worry. Smart people will understand. He said, when you combine this text search with PC Recruiter's existing Boolean and literal text search features, you've got one of the strongest document search tools available, not just in the free world, but not, where did he say? In the whole universe. That's what he said. Maybe aliens have something better, but no one here on Earth. And like I told you last week, comprehensive semantic search, it's a big word, but the people who understand it, they want to know, and the PC Recruiter has it. Just like this guy Adam's mass audience, you know, they want to know things. Well, you guys want to know that PC Recruiter has comprehensive semantic text search. If he pays me for this, I'll be very happy. Comprehensive semantic text search. Check it out.
Check it out.
Sorry.
What are you laughing about?
I don't know.
Straighten it out.
Oh, okay.
You're
going to
get fired.
Oh, maybe I'm not drinking. I'm just a happy guy. Back to Adam. Sorry. Adam. So you're sending out this stuff, and how do you know who's good or not based on that? This is interesting.
Wait
like
a minute, Animal. Can we ask for an example of, like, the headline, the attention-grabbing link that he sends out with the content?
Very good. Thank you, Jerry. Go ahead.
Seven different ways to interview for a clinical manager job, or is it
that's it.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's what this stuff is. It's not actual information about being a clinical manager. It's all about stand out from the other resumes, all that crap. That's what
Adam,
they do.
Adam.
Yes.
Answer that. Jerry's got a question for you. Look, if you can do well, go ahead.
You want an example of like a subject heading to get people's attention?
Yeah, content. Yeah. I mean, the last two or three content bulletins you sent out, what did they say? What do people see first about it?
I've got an example right in front of me. It's clinical trials with data-driven trial execution. Mm-hmm. So that's the technical bit.
Okay.
And then the talent bit, improve your probability of success. Here's another example. How to get ahead in a clinical research organization and improve your probability of success. Professional success and impacting healthcare around the world. It's got a bit of technical, but it's a bit of talent. It's
kind
a bit
career
of
career oriented stuff. That's cool. Okay. Good answer.
I'm satisfied. How to be better at your job.
Now, Adam, I got to tell you, if you could answer guys like me and Jerry and Maureen and Alan Fleur, I mean, this is good advertising for you, okay? This is a very good opportunity. So now you're fishing. You sent out the bait. What happens next?
So what happens next is you monitor those 100,000 people. So you send it out, say, as an email. Those 100,000 people get that email. Some of them don't open it. Fine, you don't know anything about them. Some of them open it and then do nothing. That's fine. They've got one point. Some of them open the email and then they click on a link. So they've got 1 point for opening the email and 3 points for clicking on a link. They go to your landing page, which is where all the content about clinical trials and improving your probability is. They download the white paper. They get 5 points for that. They then click on a link, which is take a look at what it's like to work at this organization. They click on that. They get 10 points. They then click on, here's the job opportunity. Look at this now. They get 15 points. Somebody goes all the way through that. They're on like 30 points. They're hot. They're hire ready. The recruiter gets an alert. The recruiter picks up the phone to that person right now. It's only going to be 3 to 4% of people who go from that first email all the way through to looking at a job description. Some of them won't even open the email. Some of them will drop off during the journey. But that's fine because you get to score each interaction. You know who's hot. You know who's not. Mm-hmm. You know who to focus your expensive human time on talking to and actually picking up the phone to.
Okay.
And that's the
so
people that are looking at the job description.
Wait a second. You've answered Alan Fleur's question now. It doesn't. The recruiter now decides who's good and who isn't, who's the quality candidate. But you also claim that your tool helps decide who's a quality candidate. Am I right or wrong about that?
It does, absolutely it does. So, but there's a presupposition about this, which is that if you're looking for clinical project managers and you want to pipeline clinical project managers, the only people you put in your instance of candidate ID are clinical project managers or people with a job title which means clinical project manager. So, you know, by default, they are going to have, they've got the right job title, they work for your competitors, they're in locations that you hire from. So based on those kind of demographic factors, you would want to interview them straight away based on that.
Not necessarily, No. What's going to happen now is the recruiter gets on the phone, and that's what Alan wanted to know. This separates the sheep from the goats. Just because someone's got the right title and is working at a good company doesn't mean you want to interview them. Alan Fleur, you want to comment or are you gone?
That was a good comment, Animal. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
It's a quality issue, and part of my other question is, I mean, at the price point that they've got on their website, I would question, why don't you get an email marketing? Why don't you just work with an email marketing company and let them do the list building, work with them on the messaging, because you know what your messaging is, instead of having somebody basically, and he may be very good, but doing a Walmart blast or a Costco thing. I don't know. I'm just challenging him on that. I'm not saying he's wrong.
No, I don't understand your question. Do you understand his question, Adam?
I do. There's actually two questions that I'd like to respond to, if that's okay, of Alan's. So the first one about, so I'd like to say I don't agree about that, that the point about if somebody's got the right job title, they're working for your competitor, that means you'd want to interview them. I absolutely stand by that. And here's the companies that are using, the employers that are using Candidate ID have got two things in common. Number one, they're in highly competitive markets. Number two, they've got evergreen recruiting requirements. Grant Thornton, the accountancy firm, is an example of somebody with evergreen requirements. They're always hiring auditors. They're always hiring tax people. If they know somebody at Deloitte or EY or KPMG or BDO or PwC is looking at their career site and is looking at a job description, they will want to interview that person. That person is definitely good enough for an interview.
Okay,
so,
Please, I'm sorry to interrupt. So there are ways to tell if someone's looked at a job description. So where do you guys come in on the value add there, Adam, when if I can go into the applicant tracking system or whatever and see, oh, Adam looked at our thing, I'm going to email that person or contact that person because I've already bought the entire Deloitte list or the entire Grant Thornton list, and I can just take it from there.
Great question, and it ties in with why you know your pricing's expensive. Why wouldn't I just use email marketing? And the answer is because if you use email marketing or CRM, mm-hmm. the only thing you can track is that somebody's opened an email and clicked on a link, and you can't track any further than that unless they've filled in a form somewhere else down the line. So what Candidate ID tracks is an email open, a link click, landing page views, career site views, video views, downloads, social media activity. It tracks a much wider digital footprint than any other software I know in recruitment.
So what you're talking about is SEO, SEM tracking.
No, it's not. So SEO, SEM tracking is
or
like retargeting and...
Right,
yeah,
but
I mean,
what I'm saying is
sort of,
okay, hold on a second. I got to interrupt. There's two things I want to mention. First of all, Adam. I'm just kidding. You know what? John Brzezinski asked if I was drinking. I am not. I don't drink, okay? I'm just happy. But anyway, there's two things. These big clients like Grant Thornton or, you know, some other big companies, Deloitte, Adam says they've got hundreds of thousands of people in their databases, their ATS, and they need sophisticated ways to sort through them. And that's what he's telling us now. You can't just measure one click. You have to measure a bunch of clicks to, you know, really, if you've got 500,000 people, you have to really – sort a lot to get it down to a manageable number. I think that's one of the things. The other thing is, he says you can have these people in your pipeline, your pipeline for 3 years before they ever get to the point where you'd want to phone them. Am I right about those two things, Adam?
Yeah, but I mean, an organizations like that, they'll have like a lot more than 500,000 people in their applicant tracking systems. And the key thing is, when the recruiters go on there to go and search for a candidate and they find 25,000 in Toronto, 25,000 tax managers, who do they phone first? They don't have a clue. So the best way, if they've got the right job titles and they're working for the competitors, and they all look the same, then how do you sort? So if you can sort by who's motivated now, you get to shortlist
faster. Don't make me look dumb. Don't make me look stupid, okay? I just said you've got so many people, you have to use sophisticated methods get it down to just a few people. What word am I looking for that starts with a W, Maureen?
Winnow.
Yeah, I guess so. Nin Tran, are you still there? No.
Yep, I'm still here.
Oh,
hi, Nin.
I'm going to do the hire tool ad now. You can help me, okay? You can give me instant feedback.
Okay? I like this.
So Hire Tool is...
You want me to heckle you while you're doing it to make it a little harder?
No! You can heckle me.
I'm here if you need me.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. That's what you're
I'm trying to catch up on being out for 2 weeks.
Give her.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, Hire Tool. H-I-R-E-T-U-A-L. H-I-R-E-T-U-A-L. why I have to spell that? Because Nintran comes from Czechoslovakia, okay? He doesn't. English is not his first language, okay? So I have to spell out the company name every time. HireTool.com. So HireTool is famous for being great at finding email addresses. And you heard our guest, Adam W. Gordon. HireTool was the first thing he mentioned. He was smart. He came on here. Hey, I'm going to appeal to animals' interests. He's got a sponsor, HireTool. I'm going to talk about HireTool. I like that. I
noticed
Adam.
That, too. That was good. That was global.
But I got to tell you, we've had lots of people on this show, guests, and I don't ask them. They just say it. They say how wonderful HireTool is. And I told you, we had a guy on Facebook talk. He's a recruiter in the trenches. HireTool is amazing. That's what he said. I'm getting rid of my LinkedIn recruiter as soon as the contract is up. And then another recruiter, we all know, and I respect her a lot, it's a woman, she said all you need from LinkedIn is the $60 account and a HireTool subscription, and it ends up being way cheaper. That's your sourcing solution.
Mm.
And Nintran was the guest last week, and he told us that's absolutely true. If you go with a lesser LinkedIn account and a HireTool subscription, you're going to save a lot of money. Am I right, Nin?
Yeah, you can save from LinkedIn Recruiter, you can save about $10,000 a year.
Okay. Yeah. And now I got to tell you something. Nin doesn't know how to spell his name properly either. He's got this silent H in it, N-I-N-H. Nintran, but he's a good guy, and if you want to just get a take a look at HireTool, he will do a demo with you. He's not a high pressure salesperson. I've sat in on a demo, and one day he's going to invite me to another demo so I can see. He told me they can find out what people's profession is on Facebook, even if they don't put it in there. Now, he kind of backed away from that last week, so I want to check out how accurate that is. But if somebody else wants to find out, go to HireTool.com. And,
how do you spell that?
Great ad. Thanks, Samuel. I would add people have made placements with HireTool, a lot of placements, so – if you're not making placements, make sure you get training session with one of our trainers. I want to give a shout out to Michael Doran there at Dropbox, who made two hires in just this past January using HireTool alone.
Okay. Mike,
are you looking for
paid
a spokesmodel by chance?
He's got
one.
Me.
You're a spokesperson. You're the voice. I could be the body. Okay. You saw it out there.
Jerry the
doesn't hurt to ask.
Okay, listen, we're running out of time.
I'm just coming back from the beach. I look good. I look good right now.
Okay. We're still talking with Adam W. Gordon from Candidate ID over in Glasgow, and we're in the home stretch now. Okay, so we've got our huge database of even like hundreds of thousands or millions of people. He said it in the video, millions in your database. You want to sort these people, filter them out down to the ones who are ready to talk about making a move. So he's told us, you know, you send out these articles, and the articles are graduated. First, they're just about the business, and then they're more about career. And the more you think the person is interested in moving, the more career-oriented stuff you send out. And at one point, you never send out jobs. The recruiter talks directly to them about jobs. Is that right, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, you might. If they get into the consideration phase, that's maybe when you start sending them jobs and sending them things like, I don't know, a personal career vision or a video from the hiring manager, a 30-second video saying, hey, come in and see us. Or that's when you start rolling out the red carpet. So that's the stage where you might send them a job description. But yeah, I mean, if it's small numbers, if it's five of them, absolutely pick up the phone. If it's 50, then you might email it to them and then pick up the phone to whoever's looking at it. But we can tell you who's looking at it. So that's the insight.
Okay. So we're some jerks got there, got us on hold, it sounds like there. Anyway, so we're finished with the process. We understand the process now. But one thing I want to just get out here is that you think the hiring managers have to be deeply involved in this this content management, I don't know what you call it, this recruitment marketing process. They have to have good LinkedIn profiles and that are going to – because you believe the recruiter's LinkedIn profile or the hiring manager's LinkedIn profile, they're going to really be an attractive feature. I've never heard anyone say this before. The hiring manager has to have lots of stuff on LinkedIn and say why he joined the company and why you should join the company as well. It's like a big ad. Am I right about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think they need to be heavily involved in the process. They just need to trust that you're going to do a lot of good things on their behalf. So some hiring managers I know are very controlling, and they absolutely are detail-focused, and they absolutely want to author everything. But a lot of hiring managers, most hiring managers, don't have the time for that. So what they want to do is they want to tell you the kind of key things that they're interested in, how they motivate their team, their kind of style of management, and then they want you to go and create all the content, make their LinkedIn look good, make them look good on other social networks, and just do it for them. So
okay,
you know, some people just hand over their social networks.
Hold on. When I say hold on once, you hold on, okay? Now, you believe, though, don't contradict me. You said it many times in your 43 articles on LinkedIn. I read almost all of them. You said the hiring manager has to have a very good, compelling profile. If people in his or her profession, they see their profile, they can respect what their achievements are, and they understand why this person joined this company, you said that's one of the biggest selling features for the company. Yes or no?
Yes.
And I disagree with that damn near wholeheartedly.
Go ahead. Shoot.
Why?
What if I joined the company because I live across the street?
Well, you're not the person to use for the talent attraction, or we extract from you some other more positive reasons as to why you joined the company.
Well, but wouldn't we assume then that the reasons I joined the company are the same reasons somebody else would want to join the company?
Not necessarily.
Exactly.
Okay. Well,
I win.
Leave it at that.
Again.
Okay. Yeah, you win. You win.
That's three times I've won today.
Okay, well, maybe you'll win another time.
I wouldn't say you've won. I wouldn't
say
you've won.
I would. Hands down.
I wouldn't.
I just did.
Oh, my
nanny,
God.
Nanny.
Adam, if you're going to be...
No, the point is, the reason that someone joins a company quite probably has nothing to do with the reason the next person would want to join that company, unless it's a technical issue, like, hey, we're using the latest software, or...
Yeah.
I mean, the chance of that happening... The reason I joined the company was because the guy I interviewed with was a huge fan of Indianapolis Colts. Great. Me too. I love the Colts. I'm in. I don't care. Very rarely with the same reason. It might be the reason that the next person doesn't join the company. I don't want to work for that dickhead. He's a Colts fan. Go Bears! I mean, it's
we try and use intelligent reasons, like to do with the company's maybe culture or you know, things that are unique about the about
okay.
that organization.
Yeah, okay.
I'm with it, but people
fake reasons. Jerry's saying those are fake reasons, and
people join companies because of emotional reasons, how they feel about it.
And people hire candidates for the same reasons.
Okay. Well, yeah, but Adam, you'd never say somebody would I join here because they pay well, salary's good, the compensation of this company is great. You'd never say that, right?
I mean, it depends on what industry we're in. If we're in banking,
don't guide me that, but we're running out of time. Yes or no?
Maybe.
Some companies pay well beyond typical market rate. And their benefits are incredible, and I mean, that would be a reason to join a company.
Okay, I got two questions. I don't have much time, and I got to do another ad.
You've got 11 minutes.
Yeah,
don't
well,
freak
I
out.
Might have to go over. Adam W. Gordon, are any hiring managers, do they ever get nasty and abusive to recruiters?
It's a big question, and the answer is probably. I don't have
Jerry
any examples,
no. Jerry says no. Jerry had a big fight with me this morning. He says no, okay?
I've never run into it. Uh-huh. And my bigger complaint was the fact that you made it seem like a recruiter wrote that article when that guy has nothing to do with recruiting.
That's a separate
issue.
So
it was disingenuous. It was fake news. You're the fox of recruiting online communities.
Yeah, I am. I'm the Bill O'Reilly.
I don't like to be duped. You do.
You weren't duped. Okay. Now, Maureen's question. Maureen's question. Everybody thought it was easy. I thought it was a good question. Adam W. Gordon, how would you go about determining the top 20 customers of a multi-million dollar company?
Customers or competitors?
Customers.
The top 20 customers of a big company.
I know why she's
how do you figure out who
question.
Their customers are?
So is that question
anybody
for
know?
Me?
Yeah. Well,
call them and ask them?
Anybody can answer.
Well, you would do, there's probably about 50 different variations on Boolean searches that you could do to try and uncover people that have said, who work for a particular competitor and are saying, my biggest customer is this one. So, I mean, you could search on job titles on LinkedIn and look for key account director for a particular.
Call somebody in the accounting department.
Hold on, Kathy Manis is going to give the answer. What did you say, Kathy?
You know, that's a good one, Jerry. Call somebody in the accounts receivable.
Straight up. Hey, who are our top 20 customers?
That's a good suggestion.
Because there are 20 companies that are paying invoices to them frequently.
They're not going to tell you.
Some low-level person in accounting knows who that is.
You want a pet?
Huh?
You want a pet?
Yeah, I'll bet. They're not going to tell you. They're not going to tell
you.
Okay, I have to do the ad, the final ad. Please, just let
Jerry
me get
Jerry just
it,
said
okay?
Some low-level person in accounting.
Maureen, here's what I firmly believe. There's always someone who knows what you're looking for.
Yeah,
you
got to
just get them on the phone.
That's right.
Okay.
Jerry, the phone
put
forcer.
Put it aside for a second.
Remember who
I asked
told
your question,
you.
Maureen, I didn't make you ask your own question. I did it for you. So just give me a minute to do this ad, okay?
Go ahead, yeah.
Hey, everybody. You know my sponsor, Martin Snyder. I keep mentioning his name because he wants me to brand him, okay? I want to raise his profile. He's the boss over at PC Recruiter. Snyder is spelled S-N-Y-D-E-R, by the way, and he's a bald guy. He's very recognizable, okay? He has started to get a bit aggressive with me, like I implied in my other ad. Okay, you know what he said to me the other day? He said, "Animal, lots of vendors say they scale, but do they really? Lots of vendors say they scale." And I said to him, "Okay, well, so what? What should I say about it?" He said, "Here's what I want you to say. PC Recruiter proves that a single recruiting app, don't make noise, can scale from one recruiter to hundreds." A single recruiting app can scale from one recruiter to hundreds. And you know why? Because PC Recruiter has hundreds of single-user customers and thousands of large ones. And they're all using the same application. Just go check the online reviews. If you are a solo operator or a multinational corporation working with Adam W. Gordon, there is only one level of service at PC Recruiter. You might use a fraction of PC Recruiter's capability, or you might use all of it. But we don't care if you're big or small, simple or complex. We want to support you. So check us out at PCRecruiter.net. PCRecruiter.net. Yes,
can I critique that just a little bit?
Go ahead.
You said Martin was asking you to help rebrand him. Right?
Yeah, he wants to raise his profile.
Yeah, here's what I've got now. Bald boss.
Yeah, what's wrong
is
with that?
Is that what he was looking for? I don't think so. Come on, dude, think about your words, man. The word boss is out. You're not. You can't be anybody's boss. That was like 85. You can't use that word. Leader, maybe? Coach? Leader. It was something other than boss.
Okay.
Bald?
Thank you. You know what? When you see his picture, that's the first thing you notice, okay? He doesn't have any hair. Good boss.
Okay, change the picture. Martin, you got to ditch the – get a piece, man. It's okay.
Look, get at it. Adam W. Gordon,
get
you got
wrong.
Five.
They make good ones now.
Is Martin on the line?
No, I don't think so. Then Trance got his hair, okay?
You're
going
to have to cut
young.
That out.
No way! Yes. He doesn't mind. Married with a family. He doesn't care what you think about his hair. He's
I normally charge $2.75 an hour for this kind of info, Maureen.
Yeah, I guess.
Adam W. Gordon, are you there?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, you've got a few minutes. I walked us through the system. I think it's been well represented on the show.
He made it.
Everybody understands what you do, I think. But is there something else you'd like to say in the last few minutes about recruiting in general or about what you do in particular?
Or parting shots?
Yeah, I think there's three things I'd like to talk
Ooh.
About. The first one is, you know how Nin Tran has got a silent H in Nin?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. See the Adam W. Gordon? Well, the W silent as well, so it's just Adam Gordon.
Nice.
Well, you know what? The guy's name on Facebook is Adam W. Gordon. The guy's name on Twitter is Adam W. Gordon. Here he comes on the show and criticizes me for calling him that. Yeah, fuck off!
Okay.
Yeah, but I bet they can find you by Adam W. Gordon rather than Adam
Gordon.
That's
the reason. That's the reason.
Number
right,
two.
Number
Adam,
two,
are you a member of the recruiters who actually make placements group on Facebook? Membership requests have skyrocketed here over the last hour. Not sure what's going on. All kinds of people want to get in. It's a closed group, so you have
Jerry,
to be extremely vetted.
His system thinks that your site is a candidate, so they're all hitting on you.
That could be. That could be.
Okay, let him. He's got two more points to make before the show ends. What are they, Adam W. Gordon?
Okay, so they're just more general points. So there was this kind of the word interview, and
I didn't even want to make a fool out of you by
that. Yeah. Okay. So I've said that I think the interview.
The guest. Wait a sec. The guest wants to make a fool of himself before the show's over. Go ahead.
Thanks. I've said I think the interview is the wrong term in a lot of instances, and I think that it should be replaced with something else. I don't know what that something else is. I got a bit of feedback online for saying that it maybe should be replaced by career consultation or something like that.
Oh,
but
God,
the point
no.
is, in the market I work in, my clients are trying to roll the red carpet out to candidates, and they want to bring those people in. And interview to me has overtones of interrogation, and you know, interview's the sort of thing the police are going to do if they find you in somebody else's living room, then you're not meant to be there. So I don't like that term, and I think that something else would be better.
You
so
speak
that's one
from
point.
Experience with regards to the police, right? You speak from experience.
That's got to be way down your list on stuff you need to take care of, though, right? I mean, that's like number 130.
No, it's just one that I think I'd like to.
Okay, yep. Sorry. But thought leaders who speak at conferences, that's like their number one concern. How can we change ordinary words into highfalutin terms, okay?
True.
What's number three, Adam?
The best thing you've said during the whole show.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathy Manis. The wonderful, lovely Kathy Manis. Okay. We're something.
Congratulations on your one-year anniversary of your new life, Kathy.
Yeah. Recovery. Yeah. Yeah, she came back from the death, Adam, just in case you wonder. But how come you're here? You're supposed to be at yoga.
I actually did not go to yoga so that I could listen to your show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. What an honor, animal.
Yeah. Do you have a question for the guest before he goes, before he gives you his third pearl of wisdom?
No.
Okay.
Did,
no.
But
well,
you sound, I did.
You're
kind of
lukewarm.
Show, so,
you're lukewarm
okay.
on this guy. Am I right, Kathy? you're not enthusiastic about it.
Well, I think, I'm lukewarm.
Go ahead. Okay, yeah, there you go. Okay, sorry, Adam. You know what? But she doesn't know yet that you wear a kilt with no underwear, right? So.
Well, that makes a difference, Kathy.
Yeah. So what's your number?
Hudson's gorgeous. So.
In Los Angeles, it would make a difference.
What's your number three? What's your number 3 point?
Kathy and I are busy on the back channel.
Yeah,
it's just another general.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just another general definitions point. And that's about this concept of, so this gets talked about quite a lot online, is like, who's an active candidate and who's a passive candidate? And, oh, passive candidates just doesn't exist. There's no passive candidates. You're either a candidate or you're not a candidate. And I just wanted to quickly touch on this. That's wrong. Everybody is a candidate until they retire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody is a candidate. And it doesn't matter whether they consider themselves a candidate. It's whether a recruiter considers them as somebody that they might reach out to. If they go on a list of possibles, they're a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
You know
they
what? I'm going to tell you. His tool proves that there are passive candidates. The people who don't click on stuff are passive candidates. The people who just click on that first level of industry news and nothing else, they are passive candidates. He proves it. He's got the metrics that show it. That contradicts what you just said, perhaps. I'm not sure. Right?
That's an interesting point.
My point is that everybody is a candidate. Until they retire, everybody is a candidate.
You said that some of your people, they're in that pipeline for 3 years before there's ever any indication that you should give them a call. That's a long time with no activity.
That's a very interesting point. I just got it.
I was typing out something on Facebook.
He should come back. He should come back.
Yes.
Because you know what? He was supposed to talk about passive candidates, and we really didn't talk too much about it.
Okay, well, we're out of time.
I thought
they
were extinct.
I like people to come back.
Yeah,
they were extinct. Right.
Yeah.
They were actually, God just put them there so that we, I don't know why, but anyway.
You know,
okay.
Todd Raphael had an article this week about this point that 20 to 25% of all candidates, what was that article about? I put it on your group, Animal.
His article, Todd's article, just proved, again with statistics, that people are not interested in unemployed. And, you know, actually, Adam can talk about that next time he comes back. Employers are not really interested in people who are unemployed. They want to hire people who are currently working. And Adam's statistics would probably bear that out. Am I right, Adam?
Right.
I haven't got any evidence of that, but I would think so, yeah.
Well, it said 20 to 25%.
It's over. You're like, you go to a psychiatrist meeting, you don't say anything during the whole session, and at the end, blah, blah, blah. You know what he would do? He'd kick you out. And that's what
I've been going
to
a psychiatrist. Maybe that's what's going on with me.
Don't tell everybody, okay? That's not
I don't care. Everybody
secret.
Should go to a psychiatrist. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
I agree.
Yeah, okay.
Stigma.
Okay. So,
Let me say this. It said that 20 to 25% of the employed workforce is looking for jobs at any one time.
That's low.
I think you're right. I think you're right. That's who admits they're looking for jobs.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Alan.
Adam just said it's 3%. Adam just said 3%.
Maureen, do an after show.
What?
Adam just said 3%.
Do an after show, Maureen.
No after show. There's no after show today. There's no
today. Now you're sounding like Sean Spicer.
You know what? Maybe one of my heroes, okay? If I could say funny things like him, I would be happy. If I talked like him, I would be a multimillionaire. People would want to listen to me all the time. Okay, I want to thank the great Jerry Albright.
That's
Alan
me.
Floor, the wonderful Kathy Manis, Maureen Sherub, Nin Trent, and our guest Adam Gordon. Thanks!
that can be underestimated.
Well, Marco, let me cut in.
That is shocking. I'm just jumping in to say that is shocking. Okay, I'm back to
listening. Isn't that funny? When I start to talk, finally get a chance to start talking, the mouthpiece comes in. Go ahead, Jer. Take over.
Well, you know, it's like you're a puppet, and Jerry's...